Amen. If you would please be seated. And while the musicians get seated and the slideshow gets set for this morning, I just want to welcome all of you to the four-year anniversary of Grace Life Bible Church. We have some visitors with us, and I always feel bad when a visitor comes on a Sunday like this because this isn't what we normally do, you know. So it's not a real clear picture on exactly what the preaching would be on a normal Sunday. But on the other hand, I think what better day for a visitor to come to get a real picture about what the saints are about and what the goals of the assembly are and why the church is here and how it's supposed to function and operate and so forth. And just for those of you that are new or haven't been with us very long and haven't heard before, 4 years ago, a core group was formed from some saints from Westside Grace Church in Muskegon and also from a Bible study that had been meeting in Cedar Springs, Michigan. And we met the last Sunday of October in 2007 in the cafeteria of Apex Spring and Stamping, Wayne's manufacturing facility, just in Standale, up the road, not far from here. And the first time we met, we had about 30 people. And over the last 4 years, we've obviously moved into this facility. The congregation has slowly grown to what you see in the auditorium here this morning. And not everybody is obviously here that would identify themselves as a part of the church, but what we decided to do is the last Sunday in October every year was to commemorate the first meeting of the church by having a little bit of a different service. And what you're going to see this morning is I'm going to give you what I call the State of the Assembly address. You know that the President of the United States every year gives the State of the Union address, right? Well, this is like that, but different. This is of eternal value, okay? It's not like that stuff they mess around with in Washington, okay? I'm going to go over some of the accomplishments and so forth, and also talk about some goals and some ways I think the church needs to head in the following year in year five. And then when I am done, Wayne is going to come up and he's going to give you a financial report for the last 12 months, and then he's also going to present a budget for the next 12 months that the church is going to be operating under. So there is going to be some preaching here. I do have some things on my mind, some things that I definitely want to communicate and get off my chest as far as the saints are concerned and the work of the ministry. That sounds bad. I don't mean it bad. There's things that are in, you know, when you study and when you preach, you sometimes get a little fire burning in you, and the way you get it out is by telling everybody what you're thinking. Okay, so that's what we're going to do here this morning. But I want to start, I think we need to start by recognizing, and by myself and the board members, publicly thanking all of the members of the local church here, all the members of Grace Life Bible Church. And I think we need to just reflect back a little bit on some of the things that we've done in the last 12 months. So we want to say thanks to all the kitchen workers, the people that make the coffee and set out the donuts and clean up afterwards every Sunday and make sure that somebody's there and all of those. Lolly is sort of in charge of that, and she organizes that. And we want to recognize people and ministries that maybe aren't necessarily thought of throughout the year. We want to talk about the nursery staff, the ladies that watch the babies. Okay, This is going to be a long if you clap. Why don't we just wait and clap for when we're done, okay? We want to recognize the children's church teachers, the people that are taking out and on a rotation to go back with the children during this study hour and work with the kids and teach the kids. And Todd is kind of in charge of that department of the church. And so we want to recognize these people for what they do in teaching the children and providing a ministry for people that are visitors to have a place for their kids to go and so forth. That's an important part of the ministry. The music, okay? These guys, all of them, put in extra time, effort to learn songs, to rehearse as as individuals and as a band and so forth for what you see. And even when the band is not playing and it's just Kurt and Josh and Becky, there's a lot of time and effort that goes into that. We want to make sure that we recognize that. We have a big audio, visual, and internet ministry. Okay, Kurt spends a lot of time on this. Joel spends time on this. Wayne spends time on this. These men are involved in and also the people that work in the back, Bud and Will and Craig, to run the sound and run the PowerPoint and so forth during the church service. These men are spending a lot of time on these different ministries to make sure that we can enjoy that. And you don't think about these things maybe all the time. Bible conference workers, the people that helped out with the food, the people that worked with the kids and were involved in promoting the Bible conference. We want to make sure we talk about that. We have some people here that take care of the building, clean the building, plow the snow, mow the lawn, make sure the sprinklers are working, all those sorts of things. We have people that are involved in that capacity of the ministry. We have the ladies' committee. And before I go any further, I want to tell you who's on the ladies' committee, because I was supposed to do that about 3 months ago. Okay? The ladies' committee is Sylvia, Becky, Cora, and Carrie. She's not here, right? Carrie's not here, but Carrie Holcomb is on that as well. The ladies' committee, they meet every month, and they're planning different events for the women of the church. All the car washers, all you guys that were out there washing cars, all you yard sailors that got hit with the rainstorm and had to bring everything in and so forth that fateful Saturday afternoon. All of you were involved in helping to raise money and so forth to pay for the Bible conference. The people that do the bulletin. All of these things are things. The treasurer, the person that pays the bills and keeps track of the offerings and the finances and makes sure that all the lights, the bills are paid so the lights are on and so forth on Sunday morning. The board members that come and help structure and organize the church and come to board meetings and so on. And, you know, everybody else too. Without the saints, without the local church, without the people that are gathering here together, we wouldn't have an assembly. And, you just look at that list for a minute. That's a lot of stuff. That's a lot of things that are being done, that are getting finished every week, every month, throughout the year. And we just want to now give everybody that is involved in any of those capacities a round of applause for their service to, yes, to our assembly, but more importantly, to Christ and to the work of the ministry for what's going on here in the local church. Etc. That's in case I left anything out. Okay? And I spelled it wrong, so you'll forgive me. Accomplishments. What have we done? What have we accomplished together as a group in the last 12 months? Okay, we had this is like ancient history now, but you think back, we had a church Christmas program and fellowship dinner, which we're going to be having in the near future now, by the way, as we get to that time of year. We did that. We started through the Bible in 7 Sundays. We had our first meeting last month. The next one is the 20th of November at 6 p.m. A little commercial. Oh, by the way, if you want to invite somebody, we have postcards. Okay, next week we will have posters available. So if you want to invite somebody to Through the Bible in 7 Sundays, there's 50 here to start. If we need more, we can have more made up. These are going to be on the back table. The next meeting, you should probably write that on the back, is November 20th. Okay, you want to invite somebody, hand that to them as an invitation, what have you. That's available. So we've done that in the last 12 months. We've had a couple Wright Division 101 Sundays, one with the band, the printing ministry. We've published one new book since the last time that we met. We published the Galatians commentary back in April. Easter morning fellowship breakfast. Some of you get a big kick out of watching the men make breakfast Easter morning, okay? We've done that. We had a yard sale or a flea market. We had the car wash. My personal favorite, the ribs cook-off, which, by the way, I think should be done more than once a year. That's just my opinion, okay? The food pantry continues to be an ongoing ministry of the church. We had the church family picnic at the Schneiders at the beginning of August. We hosted our fourth Bible conference in September. The ladies' fellowship events. They had the tea party and the cookie exchange and the Bible studies in the spring and in the fall. And then they also did the ladies' conference this year for the first time in the last 12 months. The teen girls' class continues to meet once a month on the first Sunday of every month. The church history class, the adult Sunday school class, is continuing to meet now into its second year. And, you know, we also took over paying a quarter of the mortgage, which was the big financial goal that we set before the assembly last year. And you know, I don't know what else I forgot. I really do sit down. What? We got our first $100 from Meyer Community Rewards. Okay, so we've done that. You know, there's probably other things that I forget. I try to keep a running list at home of everything that's going on, and I always, you know, obviously don't remember everything. We've had some weddings, the Kemperman wedding. We've had some other people in the assembly that have gotten married. So there's been a lot of things that have been going on in the last 12 months. And so there's just a brief listing of all the accomplishments that the church has had in the last 12 months. Now look around the room. Just seriously, just look around just for a minute. All of that was accomplished by the 60 people in this room. Okay? That's a lot. Okay? There's stuff going on. There's ministries that are happening. There's things that are occurring, okay? And you know, you look at that and it reminds me of the core strategy of the church. Come with me if you want to Acts chapter 15. I go over this briefly every time we do this because I think we need to be reminded. The very first time that we met, 4 years ago at Apex, I presented a core strategy for how this local church was going to function. Okay? And it's based on, you know, it's one thing to follow the Apostle Paul as far as your doctrine goes. It's one thing to understand the preaching of Jesus Christ according to the revelation of the mystery, to understand that we're in the dispensation of the grace of God, to understand that we're not under law but under grace. Those are great things to understand. But Paul also had a lot of things to say about how the work of the ministry was supposed to be conducted. And in his core strategy, there are a few points that I want to remind you of. Look at Acts chapter 15, if you would, verse 36. Notice what it says. Acts 15, verse 36, "And some days after Paul said unto Barnabas, let us go again and visit our brethren in every" what? "City where we have preached the word of the Lord and see how they do." When we first met, I presented the idea that this church had to be located in the city of Grand Rapids because this is the largest metropolitan area of this half of the state. Okay? And it's in the cities. When Paul went out to do the work of the ministry, Paul didn't go to Marne. Not that there's anything wrong with Marne, okay? Paul didn't go out to the boondocks. Paul went to the metropolitan area. And his goal and his focus was to go in there and preach the gospel in that city and to evangelize and establish a beachhead of believers, people who had trusted in the finished work of Jesus Christ and Him alone and His resurrection from the dead as the only total complete payment for their sin. And He would go in there and He would evangelize them. And once He had them evangelized, He would go into the city and He would establish that core group of saints. And then He would take that core group of saints that He had established and He would organize them and He would form them into a local church. Look with me at Acts 16. Look at verse 12. Acts 16, verse 12. "And from thence to Philippi," notice, "which is the chief" what? "City of that part of Macedonia and a colony. And we were in that city abiding certain days." Paul focused his attention, his ministry efforts on the city, on the metropolitan area, because the people in the outlying areas come into what? The city. And so they will be exposed, the theory, the idea, is that they'll be exposed to the gospel through the evangelization of the city. And then the city, because of the nature of what a city is going to reach out into the outlying areas. And so the Apostle Paul had a core strategy of locating and evangelizing and establishing and planting churches in these metropolitan areas. Look at Acts 19. Come with me to Acts chapter 19. We don't have the time to look at all these. Acts chapter 19, look at verse 35. And when the town clerk had appeased the people, he said, "Ye men of Ephesus." Ephesus, again, is a major port. It's a metropolitan city. It's a city of commerce. It's a city of religion. And Paul focused his attention on these areas. And the first thing he would do is he would go into those areas, into those regions, and he would evangelize the cities in an attempt to establish a beachhead of believers that would reach into the surrounding areas. Then, once he had the believers, once he had people who had trusted in Christ and Christ alone, who believed in His resurrection from the dead, who relied upon His shed blood as the only total complete payment for their sin, then he would take those people and then he would edify them in sound doctrine. He would teach them from the Word of God rightly divided. He would teach them dispensational truth. He would build them up and he would edify those people, those saints that he had just evangelized, and establish them in the truth of the Word of God. So he edified them. Then he took his evangelized, edified saints, and he then established them into communities of believers or local churches. Come with me back to Acts chapter 14, if you would. Go back to Acts chapter 14. I'm sorry, yeah, Acts chapter 14. Look with me at verse 21. Acts chapter 14, verse 21, "And when they had preached the gospel in that," what? "City." And had taught," what? You see, he's preaching the gospel to them. Then once they're saved, what does he do? He takes them and he teaches them, he edifies them in sound doctrine. Look at the verse again. "And he taught many. They returned again to Lystra and to Iconium and to Antioch, confirming the souls of the disciples and exhorting them to continue," where? "In the faith." Paul taught them the faith. He taught them the doctrine. He taught them the body of truth. He edified them in sound doctrine. Verse 22. "Confirming the souls of the disciples and exhorting them to continue in the faith, that we must through much tribulation enter into the kingdom of God." Verse 23. "And when they had ordained them elders in every," what? "Church." So he takes the evangelized, edified saints, and he establishes local, what? Churches. And from that pool of evangelized, edified saints that are establishing the local church, he then enlists key men that could continue to train and carry on the work and lead these local churches after Paul left. Come with me to Acts 20. Acts chapter 20. In verse 17, it says, "And from Miletus he sent to Ephesus and called the," what? "The elders of the church." We just read in the previous verse there in Acts chapter 14 that what did he do in every church? He ordained elders, plural, in every, what? Church. So once he has a group of saints evangelized and he edifies them in sound doctrine, he establishes a local church, and from that pool of men he enlists certain men to help carry on the truth, to teach, to be the teachers, to be the preachers, the ones that are going to carry forth the Word of God, to teach the Word, and to protect the doctrinal integrity of the church. Acts chapter 20, verse 17, "And from Miletus he sent to Ephesus and called together the elders of," what? "The church." Drop down with me to verse 28. "Take heed, therefore, unto yourselves and to all the flock over which the Holy Ghost hath made you overseers, to feed the church of God, which He hath purchased with His own blood." These elders, these overseers, what is their job? Their job is to feed, what's it say? Their job is to feed the church of God, over which the Holy Ghost hath made you overseers, which He hath purchased with His own blood. Look at verse 29. "For I know this, that after my departing shall grievous wolves enter in among you, not sparing," what? "The flock." So He enlists the help of key men that are going to be faithful to oversee, to protect, to guard the doctrine, to oversee the flock, to pastor the congregation, and to lead them on and help them withstand in the evil day, like we studied last week. So So you have an evangelization, you have an edification, you have an establishment, and then you have an enlistment here. And lastly, he used the local churches as a base from which to expand the gospel into the outlying communities. What's the fruit of a local church? The fruit of a local church is another what? Is another local church. Because if we understand anything about 1 Timothy and 2 Timothy, we understand that Paul says that we should find, it's on the brickwork out in the front, that we should find faithful men who are willing to teach others what? Also. And so 4 years ago, we put forth this core strategy for this church, Grace Life Bible Church. The purpose is to evangelize, edify, establish the saints through the preaching of the Word of God rightly divided. I said to you, come with me to Ephesians chapter 3. I said to you last Sunday in my message about how does Satan work in the dispensation of grace. We read it right here. Ephesians chapter 3. What is our purpose? Our purpose number one is to have all men be what? Saved. And our purpose number two is to have them come to the knowledge of the truth. Ephesians chapter 3, we read this last Sunday. Paul says, verse 8, unto me who am less than the least of all saints, is this grace given, that I should preach among the Gentiles the unsearchable riches of Christ, and to make all men see what is the fellowship of what? The mystery, which from the beginning of the world hath been hidden God who created all things, by who? Jesus Christ. One of the purposes, one of the functions of the local church is not only to have all men be saved, but it's also to have all men see what is the fellowship of the mystery. To preach Jesus Christ, Romans chapter 16, verse 25, according to the revelation of what? The mystery. So when we think about what is the purpose of Grace Life Bible Church, the purpose of Grace Life Bible Church is to evangelize, to edify, and to establish the saints through the preached word, rightly divided. How do we do that? Well, number one, we have a 9 a.m. adult Sunday school. What do we need to do that? We need a teacher, an audience. We got to have coffee, right? Audio-visual setup and tear down, and while that's going on, the music, people are practicing in here. 10:15 a.m., main Sunday morning service. We got to have a preacher. You got to have an audience. You don't want to preach to the paint, okay? We have greeters. We have coffee, donuts, nursery, three children's classes, music, audio, visual, cleanup. All of that stuff is all... What is the main purpose? The main purpose is to preach what? The Word. Sundays, now, once a month, for the next 7 months... We have a 6 p.m. evening service. Again, you need a teacher, you need an audience, music, band, practice, so on and so forth. You got audio, visual, you got cleanup, you got all these things. All of these things then don't even include the food pantry, the fellowship dinners, the ladies' meetings, the youth activities, the vacation Bible school, the conference, janitorial cleaning, yada, yada, yada. You see how many other things we do just so we can do the purpose? And I'm sure that there are some people that say, geez, do we really need to do all that stuff? I don't know, but we do, and I think we do it the best we can do it. You got to have something for the kids, right? We do all that so that we can come in here and preach. Now, I could preach, we could preach anywhere. We could preach in a cafeteria, we could preach here, we could preach anywhere, but we've said that this assembly is going to have the most visible impact in the community by having a visible presence within it, so that we can stand for and stand on the Word of God. Paul writes to Timothy and he calls the church the pillar and the ground of the truth. Okay. So all these things, all the things we went over, all these things, we had, not the media outreach. The extraction and editing of the videos, CDs, DVD masters, okay? Yeah, those things are duplicated and then they're distributed to the saints. There's the weekly updating of web pages, Grace Life Bible Church, and so on. We could get rid of one of those things in there. I forgot to take it off, and that's the Just Gracia TV blog. But there's all of these things. Last night, I went on last night onto Facebook and I uploaded the video from last Sunday's Sunday school class, okay, at about 5 o'clock p.m. I got up this morning and I was doing some things getting ready for church and I logged in and I wanted to see how many people. When I uploaded that video last night, only one person had watched it. Between last night at 5 o'clock and between this morning at 6:30 a.m. when I checked, about 16 people had watched it. Now those are 16 people that are never going to come here. Because either they live too far away or they, in some cases, live in the Philippines. Okay? But the media, this church is having a much larger impact than what you see here in this room right now. And the reason it is because we have faithful people who are doing these things to get the Word of God, to get the message of the Pauline Grace message out there so that people who don't have the benefit of coming to a local church like this can still learn and be edified and established in the doctrine. Okay? These things are not to be overlooked. They're easily forgotten because you don't see them, but they're there and they're real. We still have the TV ministries in Grand Rapids and in Holland. We still sponsor or are involved in the radio program, The Riches of Grace, with Pastor Jordan on the radio here, WFUR here in Grand Rapids. We went over a lot of stuff, didn't we? And I just want to just remind you here that, look, all that stuff, if I can get this to work, all of this is being accomplished by a congregation of 60 to 70 saints. Okay? I need you to see things the way I see them. And when I look out, you know, there's an old cliche that says in any church you have 10% of the people doing 90% of the work. You ever heard that before? To some degree that you're always going to have that, but I look out and I see people that are involved in things. Bringing videos to the TV station, coming in for music, help, you know, just there are people that are doing things that are helping to do the work of the ministry. And that's the point. In the past year, if we're going to be honest, which I think we need to be, we need to recognize the fact that we have lost some key families. The Dibbles moved to Texas. There are some other folks that have moved away or whatever and are no longer fellowshipping with us for various reasons and circumstances. And this has resulted in a leveling off of attendance. Okay, we are averaging between 60 and 70 people. We keep track of this. When Wayne comes up here, he gives me that yellow piece of paper. It has a number on it. It's how many adults were here that Sunday. And then we got a spreadsheet that we're tracking that stuff on back there on the laptop. We don't have a problem, folks, with visitors coming. But not all of them are what? Staying. So one of the things that I think we need to address and talk about in the next year is trying to find some mechanism, some way to determine why is it that people are choosing not to come back. Are they choosing not to come back because they don't like that I don't preach with a coat? Or that I don't wear a tie every Sunday? Or that, you know, they don't like the drums now? Or they don't like, you know, the donut? We didn't get the right flavor donut. Or we forgot to get the pumpkin-flavored coffee creamer. You know, what is the reason why people aren't coming back? Or are they not coming back because you know, they just don't want to have an hour of Bible study? We need to try to come up with a mechanism to determine some of these things, I think. So if you have any ideas about that, I'd love to hear them. Last year, I told you and I challenged you that we need to be what? How many of you remember this? We need to be the body. Come with me if you would to 1 Corinthians. And the number in parentheses is the page number that you'll find this on. 1 Corinthians chapter 12, look at verse 12. 1 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 12. It says, "For as the body is one, hath many members, all the members of that one body, being many are one body, so also is Christ. For by one Spirit are we all baptized into one body, whether we be Jews or Gentiles, whether we be bond or free, we have all been made to drink into one Spirit. For as the body is for the body is not one member, but what? Many. If the foot shall say, because I am not the hand, am I not of the body, is it therefore not of the body? And if the ear shall say, because I am not the eye, I am not of the body, is it therefore not of the body? If the whole body were an eye, where were the hearing? If the whole were hearing, where were the smelling? Notice, but now God has set the members, every one of them, in the body as it hath what? You know what that verse tells me? That tells me that every person, every member of the local church is vital, is important, and has value to God and what He is trying to do through the work of the ministry. Okay? Whether you are advanced in age and all you can do is, you know, a little bit here and there, or whether you're young, fit, and ready to, you know, go do everything there is to do, there's always a place for everybody in the body of Christ. And God has made it that way, and the local church is a reflection of the greater what? Body of Christ. So He says, verse 19, and if they were all one member, where were the body? But now they are many members, yet how many bodies? One. And the eye cannot say to the hand, I have no need of thee. Nor again the head to the feet, I have no need of you. Nay, much more those members of the body which seem to be more feeble are what? Necessary. Come with me to Romans chapter 12. Come with me over to Romans chapter 12. I preached something similar to this last year, shared this with you, and not more than 3 months. There's a particular family in this church that had a major tragedy happen in January. Okay? Another family in this assembly has news of cancer. There are plenty of opportunities here, folks, for us to be the body. For us to be who God has called us to be in Jesus Christ. Romans chapter 12, look at verse 15. It says, rejoice with them that do rejoice, and weep with them that what? Weep. If we can't be a church family that rejoices when the others rejoice and weeps when the others weep, we're not what we're supposed to be. So again, I challenge us. I challenge the congregation, come to Galatians chapter 2, to be the body, to be in practical, tangible terms to other members of the body of Christ, examples of the grace of God. Galatians chapter 6, look at verse 2. Galatians chapter 6, look at verse 2. He says, bear ye one another's burdens, and so do what? Fulfill the law of Christ. If I know anything about life, it's that in the next 12 months, somebody in this church is going to need help bearing some burdens. Okay? And one of the reasons we exist as a body is to help, is to rejoice with the saints that rejoice and mourn with the saints that what? Mourn. A couple more. Come with me to 1 Corinthians chapter 1. 1 Corinthians chapter 1, look at verse 10. Now I beseech you, brethren, by the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, that ye all speak, what? The same thing. And that there be no divisions among you, but that ye be perfectly joined together in the same, what? Mind. And in the same judgment. That verse is talking about the fact that all of the believers be gathered around and united in a stance for the truth. Now, there are going to be some differing opinions about how to proceed and so on and so forth. Yes, but all of those things need to be weighed and measured based on what impact will this have on the truth. What impact will this have? Come to Titus chapter 2. Titus chapter 2, look at verse 2. Lastly, in terms of being the body, Titus chapter 2, verse 2, that the aged, he says in verse 1, but speak thou the things which become sound doctrine, that the aged men be sober, grave, temperate, sound in faith, in charity, in patience. The aged women likewise, that they be in behavior as becometh holiness, not false accusers, not given to much wine, teachers of good things, that they may teach the young women to be sober, to love their husbands, to love their children, to be discreet, keepers at home, discreet, chaste, keepers at home, obedient to their own husbands and to the word of God. Young men likewise exhort to be what? Listen, we need to, every one of us in this assembly is somewhere in that passage. You're either an aged man or a young man. You're either an aged woman or a young woman. Right? But everybody has a responsibility according to those verses. Okay? Two specific thoughts in this regard. We need desperately some of the aged women to step up and take it upon themselves to teach some of the younger women. And you know what else we need? We need some of the young men to strongly consider the issue of, can I preach? Can I teach? Do I have a desire to preach the Word of God? Because one of the things we also need to be doing as a local church is to be fostering, training, and generating the next generation of preachers. Come on. Year 5 will, without a doubt, folks, provide ample opportunities to demonstrate to each other in tangible ways the love of Christ. This issue of being the body. Goals for year 5. Come with me to Galatians 5, or Galatians 6. The biggest thing, folks, is I'm going to say that is really on my mind is we need to not be weary in well-doing. Galatians chapter 6, look with me at verse 9. Paul says, and let us not be weary in well-doing. For in due season, we shall what? Reap. If what? Folks, we cannot judge our success or failure based solely on the numbers. We have a tendency, and I struggle with this too, to look out and to say, wow, that was a good Sunday or a bad Sunday. That was a good meeting or a bad meeting based on how many people were there. We need to not be weary in what? Because the tendency of the flesh is to say what? No one's coming to this. No one's paying attention to this. This has no relevancy. There's no new people here. There's no people here under 35. So on and so forth. Therefore, what we did was a waste of what? No, it wasn't. If in what we did the Word of God was preached, and if in what we did the saints were edified, it was a success. It was a success because the Word was taught. It was a success because, as we studied last time, when we make known the fellowship of the mystery, we declare not just here, but where? There, the manifold wisdom of what? Of God. Now, do we need to be concerned about the state of the assembly? Yes, don't misunderstand me, but we cannot judge. We need to do what's right and not be weary in well-doing no matter what the external thing says. Okay? We need to not faint. We need to see it through. And it says that in due what? You know what else it says about season? Paul also says that we need to preach the Word in season and what? Out of season. It doesn't, you do the same thing regardless of what? the season. But you understand that there are certain seasons, there are certain times when the response is going to be more plentiful and more bountiful than other times. But you don't stop what you're doing because you're in a season where it doesn't seem as if anything is happening, because you're going to reap the harvest in due what? Season. You understand that? We need to try, come with me to 1 Timothy chapter 4. We need to seek to grow the assembly through intentional, purposeful evangelism. 1 Timothy chapter 2, look at verse 4. First Timothy chapter 2, verse 4. Paul says, "Who will have all men to be what? Saved. And come to the knowledge of the truth." There are two things in that verse, right? There's number one, having all men be what? Saved. Then the second half of that verse, it talks about, and come to the knowledge of what? The truth. We had a discussion in our board meeting last Saturday about some of these things. I think that the assembly does an excellent job with the second half of that verse. I don't think we always do such a great job with the first half. The having all men be saved. We cannot rely on somebody else to do the work of an evangelist. We have to learn how to do it ourselves. Okay? I think we need to work smarter, not harder. I think we need to develop a strategy for this, and I think we need to train the saints on how to do this. Don't raise your hand, but if I were to ask you how many of you are afraid to share your faith with other people because you don't know what to say, I'm assuming that a lot of you would probably raise your hand. There needs to be some purposeful training and instruction on how to talk to people. Because the assembly, the way this church is going to grow is through the members, talking with people and inviting them and seeing people get saved and bringing them in here and seeing them get established and edified in the truth. That's the way the assembly is going to grow. I think, and I'm not saying this is the end of the discussion, but I would rather see us, rather than spend $3,500 on a Bible conference to teach the same people that are here all the time every week anyway, I would rather see us take that money and use it to maybe get a commercial on the radio, to do something different, to do something out of the box, to do something that we haven't done before in a manner that we haven't tried. Okay? If you have thoughts, if you have ideas, if you have questions, we have an open board meeting. You need to come and share some of these things with the board. And I got to move on here so that we're not too late. We need to work. Another thing I think we need to work on as a goal is to try to develop a youth group for the teens. Okay? A meeting where the teens can just be teens, where they can have some Bible study, yes, but they can do some fun things and get together and have that as a regular meeting group once a month as part of the church. I think that's important. I know that's important. I have families that are sitting right in here that have said to me that this is an important issue to them. So we need to figure out how we're going to do that, how we're going to address that. We need to foster church community through fellowship events. There's discussion about having a church family game night sometime in the near future. For the adults only, okay? And we don't want any kids for that. We need to continue to support Grace Life Bible Church with our time and obviously with our finances. And continue to get involved in the work of the ministry. The ladies' fellowship, the Bible study, the board meetings, the nursery, the children's church, vacation Bible school, youth group, music. There are all sorts of ways to get involved in the work of the ministry. That's my thoughts. That's where I'm at. And I got to say to you that I just, as a pastor, it's easy sometimes to get discouraged It's easy to have the flesh take over. But I have to tell you that very honestly, when I step back from those times where I'm clearly in my flesh, and I look back at the work of the ministry, and I say, I can honestly say that I am very proud of this assembly. I'm proud that we met our financial goals, that we've taken over a quarter of the mortgage. I'm proud that we're able to stand here and look out and say that this is our church. This isn't my church. This isn't anybody else's church. This is our church. The local church is the God-ordained vehicle for how God is going to reach and preach and reach people with the Word of God. It's through the organization of the saints and the local churches that then go out and proclaim and teach and make known the truth. We are all of us involved here in something that is going to matter in eternity. And there are very few things in your life outside of your family that are going to matter in eternity. This will. This will. When you stand before the judgment seat of Christ, this will matter in eternity. And it will matter because it was attempted to be done on the basis of the right message, with the right book, and with the right attitude. I hope I've created a balance here between telling you where I think we need to go and also encouraging you and recognizing the accomplishments that we've had. I'm going to pray, and then we're going to ask Wayne to come forward, and he's going to give us the yearly financial report. Heavenly Father, we thank You once again for the Word of God. We're grateful for these saints that have gathered here and become a part of Grace Life Bible Church, that have said, I want to go there. Not because it's the biggest place, not because there's the best music or the best preaching or anything like that, or the most polished service or anything, but because we believe that's where the truth is being proclaimed. We're grateful for the Word of God, rightly divided, that helps us to understand Your Word. And we pray now, Lord, that as we move in to year number 5, that we will do so with a renewed focus and a renewed purpose and a renewed understanding of what the ministry is. So that when we come back here in a year, we can look again and say, look at all the things we did. Look at all the things we accomplished. Look at the ways that the Word of God worked in the saints to move them to do the work of the ministry. We ask these things in Christ's name. Amen.
Thank you, Pastor Brian.
Me to speak up, just raise your hand and I will step it up a notch or two. As I mentioned, I gave Pastor the attendance number. We don't do anything or try not to do anything in secret here. 70 of you here today, saints, and we're still missing probably another 10 or 12 that normally come. I'm going to ask the men. I have Brother Steve and Brother Dave. They have a packet for you to follow along with me as I give you the financial status of the assembly. You know, personally, almost every one of these congregational meetings, I'm satisfied with just ending with what Pastor Brian has shared with you. He seems to encapsulate almost everything that I and the board believe and feel, and obviously we support. But again, because we don't do anything in secrecy, it's imperative, it's important for you to know how your offerings are utilized in this assembly. And I also want to share with you that you are an encouragement to this ministry, as Pastor Brian has mentioned throughout his message. And also, we do see the fruits of your labors and the fruits of your offerings. And we also know that you are not growing weary in well-doing. When Pastor Brian had talked to you about, this is our fourth congregational meeting. This is our fourth anniversary. A couple things came to mind. I don't know what the mortality rate is for a local assembly, but I know in the secular world, any business that starts up, if you can get past 3 years, you got a pretty good chance of going forward. We've been here 4 years, and today on my way in, so I would avoid the I-196 backup by Lane and Lake Michigan Drive, I came in on Leonard Street. And as I traveled from the Expressway 131 out to here, I saw two other assembly buildings. They were storefronts. Both of them were either for sale or for rent. No visibility of any activity. Now, I'm not judging, but I would have to assume the reason that they're not meeting and we are is probably two basic fundamentals. One is that God's word is not honored. And number two is, I would guess that they're not preaching the gospel according to the Apostle Paul. And folks, again, and when Pastor mentioned the aged in this assembly, and there are aged in this assembly, and they can verify, they can tell you younger folks, you don't find this just any place up and down the street. You have to seek it out, and when you do seek it out, you'll know that you found it, and then you've got to protect it. And that's what we're here for. Now, you have, well, first of all, many of you have already been through this before, and I'm not going to bore you with all the numbers and everything, but you should have two packets or two color sheets in that packet. You should have a group of white financial statements, such as this, and you should also have a yellow sheet, such as that. First of all, the white sheets represent our financial activity from last November all the way up until today, with the exception of today's offering. Now, I'm not going to go through all those items for you. You can do that on your own. That's why we hand this out to you. You can take it home. You can look at it. Nothing's going to change. When you come back to talk to me next week about an item, I'll be able to discuss it with you, and I'll share with you how we arrived at it and what it means to this ministry. All the things that Pastor Brian had talked about that you folks are involved in, fortunately or unfortunately, also has a cost attached to many of them. And so that is the part that I'm going to explain to you. Now, the second sheet that you have, the yellow one, that's the one that we're going to go through here this morning. This is the budget. This yellow sheet represents all the data from the white sheet going forward. Now, what I want to do is I want to make a couple things clear. You're not going to see everything from the white sheet onto the yellow. For example, Pastor Brian mentioned the conference. That is a standalone ministry. That is something that there are certain individuals here that feel so identified with the Bible conference that they want to go ahead and raise the funds, and they have certain ministries that help that. That does not come out of our general fund. Another one that you'll also see is the pastor's printing ministry. That is strictly his ministry. He goes ahead, works with Bible Doctrines on the cost of putting his pamphlets and his materials together, and then he sells them. The proceeds that come from that pay back Bible Doctrines or any other printing company that he uses. So you're not, even though you see it on the sheet, it's not part of the budget. Now, I want to go through the expenses that we foresee coming up, and I'm not going to dwell on all of them, saints, but these are the ones that are non-avoidable, and you need to be aware of it. Now, we've cut down, considerably in certain areas, but there's other areas that we have no control over, and I'm going to go through those with you if I can. First of all, we got the bank service charges. Now, the banks are more prone to doing business now that most of the economy is starting to turn around, albeit it's sort of still slow here in the Grand Rapids area. But the only banking service charge we have now is a $50 credit card enrollment fee. That's for all the credit cards that we have here in the assembly for certain individuals. So we cannot eliminate that. But as far as the standard monthly charge, the banks have all went ahead and they waived that. The second item that I want to share with you, and the one that probably impacts us the most here, is going to be the building and grounds and the maintenance. you're going to see that there is a $3,500 budget amount allocated for that. This building requires attention. When Pastor mentioned, you know, that we have 65 to 70 people, well, each of you have 2 feet, so you can multiply that number times that, and that's how many feet are running up and down this carpet, not to also mention that the young people are not counted in that number at all. And that's one of the things that we want to go ahead and protect this year. We want to get a carpet maintenance program installed so that we do not have to face one day, because of not taking care of it, of replacing all the carpet in this building. It's over 8,000 square feet. We don't want to go down that path. So that's something that we want to do, as well as also that we don't have any type of a window cleaning system in place. Now, I'm not talking mechanical. I'm talking people to come out and clean the windows. I know at the conference and everything, some of the visitors had mentioned that the windows haven't been cleaned. They can see that. We're proud of our building here. It's not going to be a weekly or monthly, but perhaps quarterly activity. So that budget amount is in there. That's a little bit higher from last year. Also, the snow plowing. You don't see it this year because we don't have to pay for it this year, because we have a family here in the assembly building that wants that to be one of their personal ministries. So we thank that individual and his spouse for allowing them to come in here and take care of the snow. And I understand it's going to be a brutal winter this year, and he's probably going to regret making that offer, but we're going to take him up on it anyway. So that doesn't even include into our grounds and maintenance cost right there. The custodial services, again, we have an individual come in every other week to clean up all the restrooms here, again, with 60 to 70 people, and the young people particularly. You can imagine what those bathrooms look like after they've been used. Also, the kitchen and et cetera, they do the vacuuming. And so that is the cost that's attached to that. The insurance for the building, we need to protect this building in the event of an activity or a circumstance that would bring harm and disrepair to the building itself. That's at $2,300. That has not changed from last year. We have 2 mortgages on this building. We have a first mortgage with the bank, and then we have a second mortgage. Just the interest alone on the second mortgage, that's all that we need to step up to, and that's only 2.5% interest rate, by the way, folks, and that costs a little over $300 a month. Our kitchen supply, all the banquets and the potlucks and the fellowship dinners, the donuts that you folks enjoy and bring in here, along with the coffee and the condiments and the plates, all of that is in that number. And so, again, you know, I need you to be aware of it's just more than a can of coffee that we're paying for over the course of the year. You're going to notice that there's nothing for the mortgage and rent, and I'll get to that in a moment. Our miscellaneous expenses, they're too numerous to discuss at this point. You will find them all on the white sheet. Everything is listed there. It goes from the music program to the children's Sunday school program. It goes to her flowers, for funerals. It goes to the rental of a post office box. So everything that does not fall within the normal categories gets pushed into that miscellaneous category on your balance sheet. Pastor expenses. We have went ahead and agreed to increase the pastor's salary. His parson allowance is really what it is, and it's just a tad over 2.5%. And so we're stepping that up for Pastor and Mrs. Ross, again, to demonstrate our commitment to them, to make certain that there's no financial hardship on their part for the areas that they serve the ministry here as well. Our the other major expenses, of course, that we have no control over as far as being able to shop and find a competitive bid, and you folks are aware of this in your personal situation. I can see Rick nodding his head up and down, so he must have already got his electric bill, but it's our utilities. We went ahead and plugged in a higher number than what we used last year, but again, we're anticipating that because of the utility companies being energy dependent and what's going on, that those will more than likely go ahead and rise. And so the gas, of course, is the most suspect one that we're going to be extremely sensitive to. Vacation Bible School, I plugged in a number there. We didn't have Vacation Bible School this past year, saints, but that doesn't mean that we don't support it. It just meant that we didn't get it on the books in time. We do know that there are one or two families that feel this is important. We agree that it is, and they have offered, at least this past year, to go ahead and underwrite that. And if they still continue to want to do that this coming summer, it's just a matter of us getting it on our calendar so we can make preparation for that. But in any event, we budgeted $300 to be used towards that activity. As Pastor had mentioned, we have a tremendous internet program with all the support as far as the supplies and the, what would you call it, the website fees that we have to pay. That comes out to a little over $750 for the year. We also have youth group that Brother Todd is involved with, and there's $300 set aside for that as well for the year. Our total income requirements for this coming year on a weekly basis is $898 a week. Now, before I go to the second part, are there any questions from any of you on that portion that I've shared with you that maybe I was too fast and you wanted me to slow down and ask something or to repeat something? I don't see any hands, so either I've been very explanatory or you're very timid, one or the other. But I want to talk to you now about our mortgage and the mortgage payments. As Pastor Brian has mentioned, last year we set it as a goal for this assembly to go ahead and participate in meeting 25% of the mortgage for this assembly building. And that is a $5,000 a month payment, and 25% of your folks would be $1,250. Now, as Pastor Brian has mentioned, we have been able to meet that last year, thanks to you and you stepping up and contributing towards that amount. Every Sunday is an opportunity as I view it. We had 52 opportunities last year. Out of the 52, we only had nine opportunities that we didn't meet the budget. Now, don't misunderstand me. We have two budget numbers. We have the regular weekly budget, which you'll see always on the overhead out into the fellowship room that Kirk and Pastor Brian do. And then there's also the mortgage budget included in that. But even though that we might have fallen short on the mortgage budget number, on occasions, we have made up for it, you have made up for it by year to date. So we know that it's doable, folks, and we thank you again for being able to participate in this. Now, with that being said, if you take the amount of the weekly mortgage contribution at $288, our new goal for this year on a weekly basis is going to be $1,186, and that is what the board is going to set before you to ask for your involvement and your participation. Any questions at that point? Before I close, I need to share two things with you, and those two things are the items that can stand and at times do stand in our way. Excuse me. One is sacrificial giving. Invariably, someone maybe today might even say it, but we usually, when we get a new visitor and they've been here a couple times, they'll usually come to me and say, "Well, Brother Nash, can you explain to me how the tithes work here in this assembly?" We don't do tithes here, folks. Tithe is a word that's used only in the Old Testament and the Gospels. It is for that law program. We're not under the law. We're under grace. You won't find that word in any of the Apostle Paul's writings. And so consequently, this amount that is given by you is something that you have in agreement in your heart with the Lord. Now, all of you, of course, are familiar with 2 Corinthians 9:7. Paul writes in part, "For God loveth a cheerful giver." In fact, you even have it in the bulletin today. Some of you even write that scripture verse on the memo line of your check. Now, I find it interesting, though, that if you go one chapter prior to 9 and get into chapter 8 and verse 12, Paul writes about a man, generically, having a willing mind. And for you to be able to come to an understanding of how the Lord is laying it on your heart to how you are to participate in this assembly, you first need a willing mind. If you don't have a willing mind, you're not going to be able to discern what God is wanting you to do with this opportunity. The second challenge that we face is lack of consistency, faithfulness, if you will. And all that I mean by that is that whatever you purpose in your heart that you are going to give to support this assembly, all the board is asking is that you be faithful in doing it. There is probably, as Pastor has mentioned, you know, that at times we in the flesh do become discouraged. And I'm no different than Pastor and the rest of the board at times. When I start just looking at what's going on, I do have a tendency to maybe think negatively. And the area that probably concerns me the most is when an individual is gone, and we all are taking time off on occasions, either for vacation or work or whatever, and they can be missing from this work for 1 week, 2 or 3 weeks, and when they return, their check, their offering envelope, is only for that given week. They have not done anything to make up for the lack during their absence. And folks, this budget is based on 52 weeks. It's not like we can carve out, well, we're only going to get, you know, a dozen and a half donuts this week because we know that some of you aren't going to be here, nor can we take the utility bills and divide it up and saying because somebody wasn't here, they didn't use the lights or the heat, et cetera. And you understand where I'm going with this. I've asked it every year. I'm going to ask it again to be faithful in giving. Just send us the message that this is an important ministry for you, that you hold near and dear to your heart. Some of you have children here that, you know, have come to know the Lord as their personal Lord and Savior. You have family members. You have friends. We know it's important to you. And so it's that I want to, again, encourage you in your well-being, where you're well-doing. And with that, if there's no other questions, I'm going to go ahead and ask Pastor Brian if he would like to come back, and he'll close at this time. Pastor?
Thanks, Wayne. We ask that all of you join us after the service. We're gonna, if the band and the singers would come forward. By the way, we did all this in about the same time I normally preach. Okay, so... thank you for coming. Thank you for being a part of the church. Thank you for supporting the ministry. We do have cake. Do we have ice cream? We have cake. There's coffee and stuff. We ask everybody, whether this is your first time here or you've been here 100 times, to join us after we've closed out the service here with for some cake and celebrating the 4 years of Grace Life Bible Church. So thank you for your attention. And now, if everybody will stand, we'll allow and sing with the band to close out the service.